Talking Automotive for VACC. You're in good hands.
13 to 10. Dennis Walter with you until midnight. Enjoying being with you. I hope you're going to be a part of the program on 96900 693. Talking Automotive now with VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim. Jeff, good evening.
Good evening, Dennis.
Good to chat about electric cars. I've driven a few as test cars for the motoring segment here on 3AW. It's an interesting experience, and when you get one that's fast, it's bizarre because there's no noise.
Well, there's no noise, Dennis, and what I found is that people that have owned an electric car, they're not going back to petrol. So once they cross the boundary, they're in and they stay in. As a country, though, we've still got less than 1% of the total vehicle fleet that's electric. We lag behind we lag behind China, but we lag behind Europe on this. They're around 3 or 4%. And interestingly, Dennis, Australians are known as being early adopters of new technologies. We loved our mobile phones, we loved computers, got great productivity in the economy through those technologies. When it comes to electric cars, we hesitate.
Now, is it because we don't have enough infrastructure here? I mean, talking with different people to do with motoring over the years, and finding out that, you know, if you drive into Sydney, you can call in at Euroa and there's a station there to recharge, but it might take you 40 minutes or 45. That's if you get the station first up and don't have to wait behind someone else who's charging. Is it an infrastructure problem?
A bit, but not as much as it used to be. So we started with range anxiety, and we wondered whether this thing would get us 200 kilometres up the highway. Don't put the air conditioning on, don't put the radio on, keep everything turned off and preserve the power in the batteries. We've moved past that. Most electric vehicles do over 400 kilometres and some way in excess of 400 kilometres. I think what we think about now, Dennis, is where the charges are. So we know we can get there, and we know there are charges on the way, but it's just getting into that habit, if you like, of just doing a little bit of planning like we used to in the olden days. Even when you used to drive a long way in your car, you had to plan where you were going to stop. And it's about just making sure that we've got that feeling that we're safe. But, of course, with a lot of the hybrids, Dennis, they've got a little petrol engine in there as well. So if the battery does go down to zero, the petrol engine kicks in and that generates the power for the electric engine.
And that will be the thing that gets people on the journey. If they can get the dual situation, the sort of the insurance policy of the petrol in a tank in the back of the car, I reckon that'll get people to go down the path.
Look, I think so, Dennis. We sold 30,000 hybrids in 2019. As a matter of fact, we also tripled the number of electric and hybrid electric vehicles in that year. So that 18-19 year was a big threshold, because we sold as many cars, electric cars, in that year that we did in the 5 years previously. Took the vehicle fleet of electrics up to around 14,000. But the hybrids really are the stepping stone for a lot of people between petrol or diesel. I want to go into an electric vehicle, but I want to feel safe. They go to a hybrid, which is all sorts of combinations of hybrids. But that gives them options around having an engine in there to help them get through that low energy if their battery's pulling down low. But then I think confidence will grow with full electrics as the range is over 400 kilometres now. Rapid charging is becoming more common. And I think once people know I can stop at these three stops to Sydney, to 20-minute rapid charge, time for a cup of tea and a walk around, which you should be doing every couple of hours anyway,
yep,
I think people will start to pick up on this relatively quickly.
And just for, I mean, the driving to Sydney thing probably has frightened people off a little bit, but seriously, how many people are driving to Sydney? You know, basically what you're doing with your work is, let's just say you live in a Ballarat or a Shepparton or a Geelong, where you might be seriously driving 25 k's a day, 30 maximum. You plug in when you get back home and bang-o, the next morning it's ready to go again.
Dennis, you're 100% right. There was some research done a couple of years ago and it showed that the average commute in Sydney and Melbourne was 50 kilometres, okay? Which means that you could get in your electric car, it could be two-thirds worn down on battery, you could still get to work and plug it in. So I think you're right. I think we used the Sydney-Melbourne sort of benchmark. However, how many of us have driven to Sydney and Melbourne in the last 10 years, not on a regular basis unless you're a commercial driver? So I think that we are moving past that. Now, Australia, you know, has made all sorts of promises before the last election. As you remember, Bill Shorten was promising 50% of cars by 2030. And around the world, countries and cities have made statements about where they're going to go on their electric cars, Dennis. Australia's got a gap here. We're yet to have a national policy on where we think we'll be in 2030, 2035, 2040. And I think we need to put a stake in the ground and let the motoring public and let the industry know where the government's objectives are here.
This is interesting. I've got one question for you, which Jeff has been put to me. I've been at 3RW for 21 years. I reckon it's been put to me every year during that 21. I'm going to put it to you. Don't tense up. I'm going to put it to you after these. Jeff Grillam is with me, CEO of VACC. Jeff, with electric cars and hybrids and yadda-yadda-yadda, the one thing that has come up over the years has been, well, what's going to happen when the battery? How long will the battery last? Surely that has improved.
Well, it is. It has improved. The other thing is, Dennis, it was never bad. We just didn't know how long they were going to last. So when the early electric cars came out, the Nissan Leaf and some of the other early models, we didn't know. And there's very little failure in electric batteries from vehicles. And you can repair some of the cells in the battery if the cells go down. So we think it'll go over 10 years. I mean, if an electric vehicle had a battery that lasted 15 years, well, effectively, that's the life of a vehicle anyway. As the fleet grows in electric vehicles, to be quite honest, when we started, we didn't know how long these batteries were going to last, but it looks like most of them are going to last well over 10 years. And then once we've got enough electric cars here, Dennis, an industry will emerge, and it's there now, but it's microscopic, that recycles these batteries. And that doesn't just mean you chop them up and you use them again and you use the plastics and the materials again. It means that you use these potentially for powering your house. You've got to remember they hold a lot of charge. You can drive a lot of stuff in your home if you can get electric into that battery and fill it up straight off of your roof.
Brendan, good evening.
Hey, Dennis and Jeff, is it?
Yes.
Brendan.
Maybe you can answer a question for me. I've never owned a car newer than 1974. And they are classic muscle cars.
Yeah, now Brendan, what's your question? We're going to run out of time and I don't want that to happen. What's your question for Jeff?
If I got a Malou Ute, can I put that on electric or not?
Okay, so there are businesses that convert conventional cars over to electric. It depends what it is, Brandon, but if you have a look around, go online, there are organisations and businesses that do convert conventional vehicles. Of course, you've got to take the old motor out, you don't need the thing, but they have got different models that they will put over to electric, but it depends what it is. You've got to remember you need a lot of space for that battery.
Brendan, thank you for your call. One final one, Jeff, when we talk about electric cars or hybrids or whatever, council, local council, government fleets, those sort of, are they leading the way with this?
Slowly. In Queensland, I know that the government in Queensland, the state government, have got a principle up there around buying cars for local government, and I think local government should lead on this, Dennis, if they want.
Yep.
Communities to save energy and do the right thing, they should lead by example and buy electric vehicles at a local level as well.
Jeff Grillam is from the VACC. He is the CEO. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, mate.